WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A judge in New York has just thrown out the two most serious charges against Luigi Mangione, who's accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The judge dismissing first-degree murder as terrorism charges, but keeping second-degree murder charges in place. This afternoon, the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk will be in court to face murder charges. He fit the classic definition of a movie star, but he was also an Oscar-winning director and a champion of independent film and an activist. Robert Redford has died at his home in Utah. Redford received a Lifetime Achievement Oscar in 2002.
I've spent most of my life just focused on the road ahead. I'm not looking back. But now tonight, I'm seeing in the rearview mirror that there's something I've not thought about called history. And what moves me tonight is that I'm being joined by colleagues and peers to reflect on that history.
He was 89. This is ABC News.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A pair of Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation to promote community solar energy programs across the state. The legislation has been proposed in previous sessions but never gained enough support to move forward. If passed into law, it would allow local municipalities to approve small-scale solar energy projects rather than requiring approval by the Public Service Commission. The lawmakers expect to gain bipartisan support for the measure this session, and Governor Tony Evers has expressed support for expanding solar energy use. State Senator Kelda Royce has officially announced she will join the growing Democratic primary field for governor in the 2026 election. Royce is the fourth Democrat to enter the race after Governor Tony Evers announced he would not seek a third term, joining Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and American Family Field vendor Ryan Sternad. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and New Berlin businessman Bill Berrien are the only two Republicans to officially enter the race so far. Barron County officials gathered for a groundbreaking ceremony on a new welcome center on Monday morning. Representatives from the Pioneer Village Museum say the project on Highway W has been years in the making, and they've raised about $1.4 million of their $2 million goal. When completed, the facility will house the Barron County Tourism Information Center, the Blue Hills Genealogical Society's resources, and the Pioneer Village Museum's administrative offices. Organization officials say they're still accepting donations for the project. The city of Spooner will apply for grant funding through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to treat trees infected by the emerald ash borer. The invasive beetle has spread rapidly across the northwest region over recent years, with experts predicting they could eventually kill 99% of the ash trees in the state. The grant funding will be used to treat 100 trees, replace 30 other trees, and remove 30 more. City officials also plan to share information on treating the invasive beetles with property owners so they can do it themselves. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
An update on Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers receiver Christian Watson, recovering from a torn ACL, spoke to reporters. Wide receiver Jaden Reed is out for the next couple of months with a broken collarbone. So how close is Watson to returning to action?
Obviously, I got to get clearance from the medical team and whatnot, but I've got to feel 110% confident, and I'm going to be able to go out there and be Christian Watson, not 90%, or I need to be 100% of Christian Watson before I get out there.
The Wisconsin Badgers team frustrated after their 38-14 loss in Alabama over the weekend. Head coach Luke Fickell asked, does he ever get mad at his players after a poor performance?
No, you're always trying to say, okay, what's going to be the best, not for me, because it feels better sometimes to put your hand through a wall or put your head through a window, right? Yeah, that feels good at times. In the long run, I don't know what it does for us.
Baseball, the Brewers and Angels tonight at American Family Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
Sunny and summery today with highs still spiking to the mid-80s. Tonight will become partly cloudy, lows down to the mid-60s. And tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly late morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny, muggy still, and back to the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 72.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. She is running in District 5. Sarah Harrison is here. Good morning, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Exciting times. We wanted to just start with Sarah about a little of your background and what was it that inspired you to get involved in what is it's a messy thing, politics.
It is indeed. So I am a mother of two lovely people. I am also a former corporate drone. I worked for 20 years in the logistics space, and really that I feel that makes me a professional problem solver, and that's what we need in politics these days.
Absolutely.
And exciting news, as of this fall, I am also a college instructor. I'm going to be teaching continuing education at UW-Milwaukee.
Great.
I've always been a data geek, and they have tapped me to teach Excel. So
that's wonderful.
Tell me more.
Well, let's see. How much time do you have?
Not much. And, you know, when it comes to like state senate, or state assembly, you know, these aren't Congress, Senate. This isn't governor. This isn't president. This is a very on the grounds representative position. Right. Why this one? Why now? And just to be clear, state senate of District 5 is Brookfield. And yep. What else is it? Just Brookfield, or can you describe that district?
No. They make it really fun to describe these districts. So it's all of Brookfield, okay, all of Elm Grove, all of Pewaukee,
wow,
most of West Allis, most of Wauwatosa, a little tiny slice of Waukesha, and a little tiny slice of Milwaukee. So it's three assembly districts, District 13, 14, 15.
Okay.
And put together, it's Senate District 5. And this is the first time that we're running this district under this map. The last time there was an election was under the old map. So it's a very exciting time. Being the numbers geek, of course, I looked at the assembly results from the last time. Yeah. I ran in Assembly District 15 last time. And when I stack up those three districts, it was 50.1% Dem. So flippable, but not a given by any means.
And you've got a lot. That's a lot of ground to cover. You have a lot of ground to cover.
It is indeed. Yeah. I do have the benefit of, I guess, having run for assembly a couple of times. And we beat the maps both times. I ran for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's former seat, which at that time was District 13. So it was kind of the north half of Brookfield, Elm Grove, a little bit of Wauwatosa. And that was expected to be around 41% down, and we brought in 44. So we beat it. And then I got drawn into a really challenging district last time that was 36% down. Like, you guys, I really considered dropping out when they decided.
I bet.
And we brought in 41% in a district that was supposed to be 36. So if you get out there and you talk to people and knock the doors, I've been knocking doors since I was 19, only decided to get involved in running once my kids went to talk to the Waukesha school board. They were not heard. And so I ran for that school board. Came within 1% in a 60% conservative district. I promise it won't be all stats. I'll stop with all the stats.
But I think it's really important, Sarah, that you didn't win the first time. You didn't, and you keep trying. And I think a lot for a lot of folks who are considering politics is like, well, I'm going to do, you know, one and done. That's not necessarily how it works. It takes a lot of time, and just to build up some name recognition takes a long time.
Yeah. I'm not trying not to be funny here, but that just reminds me of Abraham Lincoln. Lost, and then look at what he did with the world.
Yeah,
but I'm
not running for president, Greg. I'm not doing that. Sorry, I don't have enough felonies.
I wouldn't. No, that's true. Yeah, you don't qualify. You don't like golf that much. And so the question I have for you is kind of like it takes two parts of what you just said. So, you know, that is something we hear from a lot of candidates, is that the knocking on the door, the going to the events, talking to the people. I mean, really getting down and discussing what connects us and what do we look for in a representative and in our states. What are you telling? So when you go to the doors, this is a two-part question. What are you telling people? What do you want for? Because you live there, so your campaign goals are to do what you want to achieve and create for your district. On top of what are you hearing from the people?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing both on doors and at events, and we're doing these community walk and talk events, which have been really fun. What I'm hearing is people are frankly pretty pissed off right now about kind of everything, but a lot of it comes down to economics. People are seeing inflation. They're seeing the cost of healthcare, childcare. I have my youngest just started at UW-Madison. He's in the Badger band. Yeah, go Badgers. And 2 weeks before school started, we got this letter saying, oh, by the way, tuition's going up. And we're like, oh no, it was already high enough. So people are feeling the crunch. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the economy, stupid. That's the bottom line for folks. And of course, there are other things that are important, but if you can't afford your cost of living expenses, everything else becomes less and less of a priority.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm a single mom, small business owner with a mortgage. Like, believe me when I say I feel that pain just as much, you know, as the folks I'm talking to.
But that makes so much sense, Sarah, that, again, it's kitchen table issues, which is what we heard about all the time. And you're right. It's much easier if you don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay the rent, or if I'm going to have medication, or if I'm going to go to the doctor.
Right.
Then you can, if you got that stuff covered, you can worry about more other things. Mm-hmm. But it's those immediate needs that that we're failing at.
If you're just joining us right now, we're speaking to candidate for Wisconsin State Senate, Sarah Harrison. She's running for District 5, which I would say all the places, but it is a wide array of places in southeastern Wisconsin. And, you know, there are people in that district, there are people all over the country, but if you are struggling with your economics, if you were struggling to pay for food or for rent or your mortgage or the college or whatever, and then you looked at DC and you see tax breaks being given to billionaires and people in Madison who are saying we're not going to fund education, I want to say it's kind of a no-brainer to say, well, then vote for the people who will not
fund
do
those things.
But it almost, you have to convince individuals, one, to look to Madison and DC to see that happening, and also to really make that connection and say, this is how what they're doing is directly affecting you, the inflation and the price of living, the price of gas, the price of everything is directly affected by the decisions that our leaders in our state and federal capital are making. And I have to imagine, even some of the most ardent right wingers are starting to see the cracks in the armor here, that this is not the best pathway for the state and the country.
Yeah, I would agree. And just to tag on to that, the incumbents, Rob Hutton, voted against the state budget for the exact opposite reason that I would have voted against it. He said it did not pull back enough funding. And I would have said, or I do say, it did not fully fund our schools. And that's why I wouldn't vote for it. Yeah. He wanted to see more funding stripped away. In what world would that be a good thing?
Right. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because for the first time, if I remember this accurately, they are asking for help now in Brookfield, because the city of Brookfield, right? The state has not been properly funding our communities, Republican, Democrat, you name it, adequately for decades. And now Brookfield is a relatively wealthy community in southeastern Wisconsin, but even they are having budget issues.
Yeah, there was a referendum, an operational referendum in the spring, and it actually didn't pass.
Right.
And so now they are having conversations about how are they going to adjust services, because they can't continue to do all the things that were originally in the budget because they've lost funding for other things. So it's happening everywhere, whether it's Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, or otherwise.
Well, and that's the question I have for someone who is a self-professed numbers geek, or as Sarah Godlucy calls herself, a numbers dork. But
yeah,
when you sit down with somebody and try, and that's, here's the ultimate problem that I see that Democrats suffer from, and just in general, is talking about the information. So you tell someone in Brookfield, if you vote against this operational referendum, I understand you don't want to raise your taxes, but then the services get pulled back or canceled. So we have to make that investment. I need you to understand why the investment matters. And when you say that Rob Hutton voted no for the exact opposite that you would have voted no, how do you make people at least, I don't want to say understand, but at least be taken in the, open to the conversation of saying, look, I want to spend this money because these are investments on X, Y, and Z. It's very, that's the thing that I don't understand, how modern politicians and or people running can get people to open up to the conversation of how we can invest, because invest, I hear invest, they hear spend. And that's the difference.
Right. Right. So in my logistics background, I needed to bring people together from the person on the receiving dock, literally to the people in the boardroom. So I was talking with CEOs, CFOs, boy, they do not like spending.
No.
And the people in the front, you know, working in the buildings were worried we're going to put their jobs at risk. And the people in the offices are worried we're going to spend too much money. So I had to find a way to make sure I listened to and understood the concerns from both sides of the issue. And then we find a way to find the best solution that meets our needs without putting anybody at risk. So that's a really long way to say you gotta listen and you gotta understand the pain points that people are feeling and help them understand how you can make that a little better.
Well, and I think sometimes that people do not necessarily appreciate all of the services that government provides. And I think there is a misunderstanding occasionally that, well, I don't use any special services, so they can cut them and I don't care. But you do care because it does affect you, right?
Yeah, I've had folks say, oh, you know, I don't care about Medicaid. I'm on BadgerCare.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
And
it's the same thing, guys.
And that's a fantastic job of certain people to present it in a way that doesn't require the explanation.
And make it murky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We're going to continue our conversation with Sarah Harrison. She is running for Wisconsin Senate District number 5. You can join us if you have a question, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Jameson.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Maggie Dawn coming up later on today across the network from 4 to 6. In the 5 o'clock hour, Maggie talks to State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner from Green Bay. They're going to talk about the potential closures of veterans facilities next month.
Yeah.
If the legislature does not act. So join Maggie this afternoon. Great show from 4 to 6 across the network.
We talked about that while you were away, and it's a matter of $1.9 million. So let's get that together. Or someone just rich. Someone rich just funded somebody.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are I've heard of people who have that for lunch money, so I'm sure it's available somewhere.
Yeah.
Our guest is Sarah Harrison. She is running for Wisconsin State Senate District number 5. And Sarah, we wanted to come back and just ask you about, we heard a little bit about your door knocking and a lot of time that you spend talking face to face with people, which is really the way to do it. What are you hearing about that? From people that is not getting done, that they would like to see actually get done?
Yeah. Well, they would love to see our schools fully funded. Mm-hmm. That's an issue we've been fighting for a long time. And it's one issue that you definitely hear from people on either side of the aisle saying, you know, teachers shouldn't be out there buying school supplies. Why am I having to do a fundraiser every week? This week I'm selling pretzels, and then next week I'm selling popcorn. And there's an awful lot of pressure there. And what's really scary about going to like a fundraising type of model is that those folks who are in the lower income areas really suffer. it's awfully difficult for them to bring in money from the community because they don't have as much, spare money sure. in that community. Mm-hmm. Really hearing that the costs need to be under control. I talked with a woman the other day who said her daughter is expecting and got put on a wait list right away for a daycare. And they said, well, hopefully we'll have a spot for you, you know, in the first 6 to 9 months after you give birth to the baby. And she's like, oh, what do I do until then? Yeah. And even once they do get in, it's going to cost almost as much as their mortgage payment.
Just crazy.
We have all sorts of things to sort through there, and people are feeling the pain for sure.
I think it's really interesting, though, because I think there might be a misconception that people on the right hate public schools. That's not necessarily the case. There might be support for alternatives for charter schools and things like that. But I think, again, most people like their particular public school. It's right. that public school that's a problem, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You see that all the time. It's funny because it's like NIMBYism on school, you know.
Right.
No, public schools are a problem, but not my public
school. I love
great.
My school. My kids' teachers are great.
It's the opposite. It's please in my backyard. Please in my backyard.
Yes, in my backyard. NIMBYs. Yeah, for sure. And we know that a strong public school system is not only good, of course, for the kids and the parents, but it's good for society as we move on and these kids go on and, you know, go to a trade school, go to a college, go right into the workforce. We want them to be well prepared and to understand, the facts and how to put together numbers and, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, all that kind of stuff. But you also want them to have an idea of the society and some of the civics and how our system works so that they can be full participants. And that's really an important part to having a successful society.
And we talked about this too while Jane was away on vacation, and that, you know, the GOP in Madison is always really quick to pat themselves on the shoulder for giving any money to education, even though they've suffocated K-12 for a long, long time. And I went last year to my ballot and voted yes on an operational referendum for schooling in Kenosha, which, by the way, was one of the few that failed. But I don't have children. But
yeah.
I understand the importance of a strong public school education. I understand that if they're not going to do it and we have to, that's our burden to handle. And I said yes, because as you just put it wonderfully, Sarah, it's not about whether or not I have kids. It's whether or not I want to live in a community and an economy which fosters good education for young people to then to grow up to be contributors and make it better for me, maybe. I don't know. But I see this not as you're raising my property taxes. I see it as we're investing in our schools. And that's more important than, say, the few hundred dollars I have to pay more, which it hits, but I can afford it. Thankfully, but to me, that is not a tough decision to make, but it failed because people are tired of having to foot the bill when Madison's doing nothing.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm running for office. I'm just kidding.
All right.
No, I'm not.
Let's be co-workers, Greg.
No, you don't want that. Oh God, I'm so frowny
all the
time.
I'll talk to Jane later. I'll get the scoop.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We got about a minute and a half left, Sarah. Any final thoughts that you want to share before we have to move on here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love getting out in the community. I love talking to people. I am honored to have the opportunity to earn their vote. I show up. I listen. And we've seen that Rob Hutton does not show up. He doesn't show up for our schools, our workers, our rights. We need someone new, and I'm ready to step in and fight for the people of District 5.
Sarah Harrison has been our guest, a candidate for Wisconsin State Senate District 5. We will talk to you again. Thank you so very much for your time, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jay.
We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we celebrate Robert Redford before we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Bold Ball Bouncing Edition with a video element. You don't want to miss it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. With deer hunting seasons opening across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to test their deer for chronic wasting disease. Hunters have a variety of options to test for the disease, including self-service kiosks using meat processors that can assist with sampling, arranging an appointment with the DNR, or by doing it themselves at home or in the field. Hunters should also be aware of counties with baiting and feeding bans that have been triggered by positive chronic wasting disease tests. Democratic state lawmakers are circulating a proposed bill that would allow Wisconsin residents struggling with suicidal thoughts to add themselves to a do not sell list for firearms. The legislation is meant to allow those individuals to voluntarily give up access to firearms if they feel it is unsafe for them to have one. Research shows suicide attempts that do not involve a firearm are rarely fatal, but are nearly always fatal when they do. People who add themselves to the list could later apply to be removed from the database after a waiting period. Months after its closure, Northland College in Ashland has sold its baseball and softball fields. According to a WPR report, the college has sold a total of nearly $1.5 million worth of its real estate assets, including the sale of the President's House in July. The baseball and softball fields, along with their indoor practice and storage facility, were sold to Shawamagon Bay Friends of the Fields, a nonprofit organization which intends to use the fields for youth sports leagues. College officials say they're still hoping to find a single buyer for the whole campus. Northwood Technical College and Impact 7 held a groundbreaking ceremony and ribbon cutting for two housing projects last week. The projects were made possible through the Housing Opportunity and Mobile Education Solutions Initiative program as part of an effort to combine affordable housing with access to mobile workforce training labs operated by Northwood Technical College. The groundbreaking was held for the Trailview Cottages development in Hayward, and the ribbon cutting ceremony was held for Maplewood Cottages in St. Croix Falls. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Rainn Wilson appeared on the Last Laugh podcast last week and said he felt that at times the show The Office went too far with racial and sexist jokes. Wilson, who played Dwight Schrute, said they could never get away with some of the jokes now. Wilson also said that NBC ultimately passed on a spinoff which would have starred the Dwight Schrute character and would have been set on his character's beet farm. The show would have been called The Farm. News from the Emmys, Stephen Colbert presented the best lead actor in a comedy series. Beforehand, Colbert jokingly asked when he got behind the mic if anyone was hiring. Colbert will exit The Late Show in May of 2026. Colbert also joked that he brought his resume and showed the crowd his old headshot. The Late Show host was visibly moved when the crowd started chanting Stephen. Great guy. And by the way, best lead actor in a comedy series went to Seth Rogen for The Studio. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
Sunny and summery today, with highs still spiking to the mid-80s. Tonight will become partly cloudy, lows down to the mid-60s, and tomorrow a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly late morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny, muggy still, and back to the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 72.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Corrine Hendrickson, a former child care provider, and Francesca Hong, a state legislator, are each looking at making some electoral moves in 2026.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. You can call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Bold Ball Bouncing Edition.
You know, this is one of those situations where I really want to make a plug for the live stream, because when we have certain tisbats, your face can be neutral.
Yeah.
Sometimes you seem rather irritated that news ever happened in the first place. But today it is the Cheshire grin that you present when you like it. Because one, I think you just like saying bold balls bouncing
There's
on the air.
There's an alliteration there that just makes me happy.
FCC has nothing on us.
Can't do it.
But also, yeah, the video component is both informative yet angering at the same time.
And disturbing slightly. Yeah. So, yes, stick around for This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up around 10:51-ish. Right now, though, is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet,
ooh,
where we get away from politics and try and take a collective breath so we can reorient a little bit.
It's the radio version of touching grass.
Exactly.
There you go. That's ears with fun.
Cleaning your ears with fun, as Greg says, yes. And we wanted to celebrate the life of Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
It was the news broke right before we were coming on the air this morning that Robert Redford has passed away at the age of 89. He died at his home outside of Provo, Utah. The statements announced by Cindy Berger, the CEO of his publicity firm. He had died in his sleep. Did not go into details except to say he was surrounded by those that he loved.
I love that.
And honest to gosh, you guys, and I'm a Robert Redford fan and have been for a long time, but until I started seeing some of these articles was I reminded of all of the incredible movies he was in and directed.
And the things, too. He was just a fantastic human being, too. He just had a very... For a guy who was lauded as one of the best actors, rich and famous and super handsome, and he just also, anytime I saw him interviewed or anytime you hear someone speak about him, he also had this very level-headed viewpoint of life, himself, the absurdity of Hollywood, and just, he was an actor. Yes, we adored him as Robert Redford.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, he was just a guy doing what he loved, trying to be the best person he was. And I don't know of any stories out there that are like, you know who really sucked? Bobby Redford.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. He was an early advocate for environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely the person who saved Sundance.
Yes.
And really turned the Sundance Film Festival into a big thing to the point where I actually saw a quote from him. You know, Sundance, what it started out was a very small opportunity for independent filmmakers to get their things seen. And then it became an IT event.
It's
where all the big celebrities would go, which he hated that. And actually at one point said, I hate all these influencers. I want the ambush marketers, the vodka brands, the gift bag people, and the Paris Hiltons to go away forever, he said during Sundance in 2012. They have nothing to do with what's going on here. Because again, it was meant to be a small opportunity for small filmmakers to get a chance in Hollywood. And that did happen. He helped make that happen for a lot of really small films.
When you think of film festivals in the United States, Sundance, Tribeca, New York, Telluride, those are the big ones. I mean, they're the ones outside of the United States. There are some that are gaining traction, South by Southwest, Toronto, of course, but that's Canada. But Sundance, and I would say Sundance and Telluride and Tribeca are like the three that when you hear people say, I got into this film festival, that's a big deal. And Sundance is because of him. Because also, another, he just loved movies.
Yeah.
And he wanted to use his platform, his power to help those who just wanted to create. And that's what it always comes down to when you work in a creative industry, which I do, is if you are of the right mind and you have any bit of power and any bit of platform and any bit of ability, you want to hand it over to people who have something to say. stand back and let them do their thing.
855-752-4842. Your favorite Robert Redford movie. What was your favorite out of all of the films that he did? And he did so many. Your favorite film made you laugh, made you think, made you feel. 855-752-4842. We are celebrating the life of Robert Redford, who passed away earlier this morning at the age of 89. Calvin, one of my favorite movies is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. There are some really, really great moments in that movie. I saw it early on when it came out, and I didn't get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched it numerous times since then, so I could actually understand all of the jokes. Calvin, let's play that little clip from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, please.
Ready?
They're trapped on a cliff.
No, we'll jump. Like hell we will.
They're
no,
way
we'll
outnumbered.
Be okay. If the water's deep enough, we don't get squished to death. They'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just gonna have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot, that's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Up. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
All right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim.
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
This scene is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious.
And that's something that you don't generally attribute to Robert Redford.
Is being funny.
Being funny, comedy. You look at movies like The Candidate, The Sting. I would venture to say that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is as much a comedy as it is action, because there's a lot of funny stuff in there.
There is.
And he just had that ability, and he did it best. He was never wacky. He was never weird. He was just, for me personally, it's very British humor of dry wit, quick dialogue, great banter. That's what makes great comedy, in my mind, for me at least. But yeah, I mean, that is definitely in the top five when you mention him. And of course, another one, I mean, I apologize, I forgot what we have clips for, but if we don't have it, but just All the President's Men. I mean, that's another one with Dustin Hoffman. That is a movie that just... it was a firestorm of a film.
Absolutely. And inspired a whole generation of people to become journalists.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
855-752-4842. Your favorite Robert Redford films. As we celebrate his life, he passed away this morning at the age of 89. What was your favorite Bob Redford flick? Terry from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Terry. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I want to throw in All the President's Men.
Yep.
That's, him and Dustin Hoffman were super in that.
Yep.
I also like Jeremiah Johnson. So, I mean, the list is, like you guys are saying, a long list of excellent work.
Yeah, you forget, too, right? I had forgotten Jeremiah Johnson. I saw that, too, when I was a kid. Three Days of the Condor.
Yeah.
Is another really good film from 1975. Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate it. And then you had also mentioned The Sting from 1973, which also has some very, very funny moments in it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I told you that I had to watch that movie. And I mean, I had the opportunity to watch that movie for a film class, and I'd never seen it until then. And it just, it's like a great band. You hear about these things, they're in the ether, they're in the culture, and you've never taken part. And then when you finally do, you get why everyone loves these things. And The Sting is one of those movies that just really, it's just great.
It is.
It's a great movie.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
Liz from Saukville texting in, listening on WAUK. There's so many Robert Redford films. A River Runs Through It,
mm-hmm.
which he directed.
Yes.
Quiz Show, which he also directed.
Yes.
The Horse Whisperer,
mm-hmm.
another really big film. Speaking of Quiz Show, I was in Sundance that year with a girlfriend, and the star of Quiz Show.
John Turturro?
No, the investigator.
Oh.
I'm drawing a blank. He was on the Alaska show.
The Alaska Show. You are not.
Northern Exposure.
Oh, Rob Morrow?
Rob Morrow.
Okay.
Was standing behind us in line to see a movie.
My mom loved that show.
It was. Quiz Show is a brilliant, brilliant film.
This cast.
Oh, yeah.
John Turturro, Rob Morrow, Ralph Fiennes, David Paymer, Chris. I mean, this is a who's who of both stars and character actors.
Yeah, it's a great film.
My goodness.
He was in Barefoot in the Park. That was one of his earliest films. I wouldn't say it's one of his best.
No, and it's not very, very much not of the...
Not politically correct anymore.
If you cringe easy, don't watch that movie.
Yeah, but Luann from Wanderers listening on WLAK and Amory, The Way We Were.
Mm-hmm.
What a heartthrob.
And I like what you said.
Hubble.
Before we went on the air, you said, even Sneakers was good.
It was.
I know, but...
Sneakers was, and it was one of those smaller... or early day computer hacker kind of movies.
Yeah, exactly. Like ooh, we're going to make a movie about what? The internet.
But right. Yeah. But it was a good film. Ordinary People.
And
another one.
And I know it's hard to like, well, I know that the comparison might be a little eye rolling for some, but I really do think that his contribution to Captain America, the Winter Soldier was very good. And that is what, and I think he, along with that story, is why when you talk about the best Marvel movies, the best MCU movies to come out, that movie is always in the top three, top five, because you don't need to know a lot about either side, beginning or after, or before and after. It's a great spy flick, great espionage, great story, and it explains itself all in one. And he plays a very pivotal role, and it's also, oh, Robert Redford's in a Marvel movie.
Right, yeah.
And he brings, and not to use a very cliched statement, but he brings gravitas to the role, and to get Robert Redford in an MCU
in a film like
that is a big deal. And it's a very, I would suggest, even if you don't like Marvel, that's a good movie.
Directors Quentin Tarantino, James Wan, Darren Aronofsky, David O. Russell, Ryan Coogler, Ava DuVernay, all nurtured by Sundance early in their careers. It became one of the world's top showcases for documentaries. And again, he got increasingly dismayed, I think, by how commercialized it became.
I can completely understand
that. That was kind of the antithesis of what he was looking for.
Sundance brought, you know, for better, for worse, and I'm not going to sit here and defend him, but you can't deny his legacy, Harvey Weinstein to Kevin Smith with Clerks, and brought Kevin Smith to us at Sundance. And if there was no Sundance, I don't know where Kevin Smith would be today, but it was a pivotal moment in his career, and that all happened in that little town. Show and movies, because he wanted to give people a chance.
We will include in our show notes this wonderful article from the New York Times about Robert Redford and his long and lustrous career. In our show notes, look for them at civicmedia.us. All right, stay close. When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Bold Ball Bouncing Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball coming up later on today. The Brewers hosting the LA Angels. Mm-hmm. Broadcast starts at 6:05. You can't listen on the stream. You can listen on terrestrial radio. So catch our broadcast tonight on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, and on WBZH in Hayward. The Brewers hosting the Angels tonight. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Coming up tomorrow, it is Wednesday.
Says who?
It is Wednesday tomorrow already.
We're
going to talk to Bennett Goldenstein. He is a
Goldstein.
Thank you, reporter with Wisconsin Watch. Looking forward to that. And James Vanderloo.
Oh, he's back.
He is back. We're going to talk tariffs and more reports that I continue to see, especially now about soybean farmers.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I really quick, and I just want to say this really, you know, if you're interested in keeping up in the farming world and the news, there are great podcasts. There are great, we have the Midwest Farm Report here on the network mm-hmm. every morning from 5 to 6 a.m. with Pam Yonke, but also AG Web is a great app that delivers farming news from all over the country, and it delivered me some news like, President Trump begging China to buy more soybeans. Yeah. It really gives you an idea. And it's kind of unfettered. Like, it's not uncensored, but it doesn't
unfiltered.
Hold. It's unfiltered. It doesn't hold back on frustrations coming from that community. And I think it's a great, great app. AG Web
AG
is the
Web.
Name of it. You can put it on your phone, your device, and it will send you notifications with stories that I have used in the past. It's a great resource, I feel, for this kind of information on the world, because it is. I mean, we love our farmers, but we also don't always know a lot about what's going on.
Exactly. So James Vanderloo will be joining us as well tomorrow in hour number two. Right now, though, 10:55, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. JaneSays@civicmedia.us. This from UPI, Ben Hooper comes through for us again.
Clutch!
We love his bylines. Headline reads, man spits table tennis ball at a wall 51 times in 30 seconds. And there's video. A serial Guinness World Record breaker took some time during an ocean cruise to spit a table tennis ball at a wall in order to break one of his own records.
Wait, rewind. Read that first sentence again.
A Guinness serial World Record breaker.
Not a great title. Okay.
Took some time during an ocean cruise to spit a table tennis ball at a wall in order to break one of his own records. David Rush holds the most concurrent Guinness World Records titles at more than 181. He was on board a Disney cruise somewhere in the North Atlantic when he broke the record for the most table tennis balls bounced against a wall from your mouth in 30 seconds for the third time. The man's got goals. He originally set the record at 43 bounces, bested himself in 2024 with 47 bounces, and then managed to break the record for a third time, 51 bounces on day 5 of his Disney cruise.
You know, I'd love to say that his partner was like, hey, can we just have a vacation? But I know that's not the case at all. He was on this boat just to do this.
Just to do this. Quote, to the casual eye, it might look goofy.
To everyone's eye, it looks goofy. No.
But trust me, this record is deceptively difficult. The spit has to be perfectly aimed. Too much pressure, and the ball rockets back higher than expected. Too little, and it drops low and slows you down. Every bounce, Greg Bach, is a split-second calculation. Pressure, angle, timing.
I know that we're coming up on the, I'm coming up on the wall here, and that we need to go to the news.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just going to say what I always say in matters like this, especially when it comes to world records, because we're never talking about like really, truly amazing ones. In the matters of this, it just furthers my belief that we were never what God intended.
I don't know. Have you seen the video? You need to see the video.
I have, and it's made me rethink my beliefs and values. So thank you, everyone, for this gem of a story. Ben Hooper, you're on my list.
Ben Hooper, you did it again. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
You need to see the video. Check it out.
You and I have different definitions of the word need.
If you need a cheap laugh.
Okay, there you go.
That will fill the need. thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, 6 to 8, Native Roots Radio, Robert Pilot, 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A judge in New York has dismissed terrorism charges against Luigi Mangione in New York's case over the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, the judge keeping the state's second-degree murder charges in place. ABC News legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer.
This is absolutely premeditated from the eyes of the judge in terms of this ruling. Second-degree murder is when you have a premeditated murder of an individual. He's facing up to life in prison, 15 years to life, in fact. But in terms of his intent was to kill the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, at least based on the grand jury results and the findings of the court. It was not to influence or coerce the civilian population for some sort of policy change. That's what the judge is making a distinction here.
Man accused of killing Charlie Kirk will appear before a judge in Utah today. It'll be Tyler Robinson's first court hearing since Kirk's murder last week. He was in dozens of movies and was an Oscar-winning director. Robert Redford has died. Jane Fonda sang he meant a lot to her and was beautiful in every way.